Good morning. What's the plan? What's the plan? That's a phrase that my family teases me about quite a bit, particularly when we're all together as a family on vacation, which most of the times is up in Cape Cod. We'll be together, and I'll be the one usually the beginning of a day to say to the family, "So what's the plan today? What's the plan?" Sometimes there's a plan that we're all a part of. Sometimes the plan is to drive up to Provincetown and go out whale watching. Another day, the plan may be to head down to our local favorite places and go kayaking together as a family. Sometimes the plan may be to go to the beach. Sometimes the plan may be to get together with my brother, who also spends time at Cape Cod. Those are days when we're all kind of on the same plan. But there are days when I'm challenged by my daughter Elizabeth and Rebecca and my wife Mary, when I say, "What's the plan?" And they'll say, "You know, the plan is doing what we're doing right now. We're just taking it easy. So why don't we just chill? That's the plan. I'm going to read a book out in the hammock in the yard, or going to hang out inside and just kind of spend time together. And that's the plan." So there are days when we have different plans. I may go for a walk on the beach. Someone may want to read in the hammocks. Different things going on. So I'm teased about that. What's the plan? I want to talk to you today about two plans, calling them Plan A and Plan B. And these plans have to do with Jesus Christ and our understanding of Jesus for these last, particularly 2,000 years. Today is the feast of Christ the King. And I suggest that one of these plans, Plan A and Plan B, I think can present us with a deeper, richer understanding of what this feast is that we celebrate today. I'm going to talk about Plan B first, because Plan B tends to be the most dominant plan, the way we have understood, the way the church has understood Jesus Christ. Plan B, to oversimplify things, tends to begin with God created everything. This creating God came and created all of creation, and man, it started with a mistake. There was a problem in the very beginning. You know, this Adam and Eve, they ate that apple, and we have a problem. You know, NASA, we have a problem, for those of you who are from that era. And that problem, it's the sin, the first sin of Adam and Eve. And so from the very beginning of the narrative, there is this problem. And God has to somehow fix this problem. And the way we oftentimes hear the story told is that Jesus Christ was sent by God to fix the mistake, to fix the problem. That Jesus was sent in some ways to, say literally, kind of mop things up so we can start over again. And the way we oftentimes see that understanding is, thank God for Jesus. Thank God Jesus did this. Thank God Jesus fixed the mistake. Thank God Jesus died on the cross for us, shed his blood, so this mistake was taken away and God would love us again. It kind of emphasizes that idea that this mistake, this problem, separated God and his love from us, and that Jesus came to show God that we truly do love God. And we give thanks for that. Jesus is our Savior. He is our salvation. He is the one who gives us life again. Does that sound familiar, that story? Plan A, though, is something a little bit different. These are not contradictory plans. They're just, they tell the story they tell the narrative perhaps in a different way. Plan A, which has been a part of the Christian tradition since its beginning, Plan B tends to be the more dominant narrative or way of understanding. Plan A begins with this emphasis that God the Creator, this spiritual being, we're limited by our language, aren't we? This spirit, this God, wanted to manifest God's self and thus created the world, created all that we know. In many ways, the creation that occurred over 14.6 billion years ago was the first manifestation of God. It was the first incarnation. It was the first showing forth of the Christ. The meaning of that word Christ is this, the manifestation of God. And we believe, and it's in our creeds, it's in our scriptures, that Christ was in the beginning, from the very beginning, as God showed forth and manifested God's self and all of creation and all of this universe. And we, who follow in this Christian way, we believe that 2,000 years ago, this humble man, this Jesus of Nazareth, came among us and was the Christ. That this Jesus Christ is God and human. That this Jesus Christ is the manifestation to us of who we are called to be. Jesus Christ shows us the pattern, shows us who we are to be. Another word for the word plan is maybe pattern. And this idea that at creation, God wanted to manifest God's self and created all that we know, and all of creation is moving towards its fulfillment. Sometimes the word used in church language is to its ending time. But ending not necessarily meaning its destruction, but meaning its fulfillment. That all of creation continues to move towards the dream that God has for it. And science confirms that. Science tells us this is so mind-boggling. That 14.6 billion years later, this universe continues to expand. This manifestation of God continues to expand and move towards its fulfillment. And so in Plan A, Jesus didn't come among us to clean up a mistake. Jesus didn't come among us to take away a problem. Jesus came among us as part of that creative manifestation of God to show us the wonder and the pattern of creation. And Jesus showed us by dying on the cross and shedding his blood that we too are called to that kind of sacrificial love, to that kind of care for this creation, that kind of stewardship of all that is around us. This Christ calls us in our humanity to the fullness of what it means in this wondrous manifestation, this wonderful Christness of God, the showing forth. That plan speaks so powerfully to me. And that Plan A, while it's been kind of the, I'm calling it Plan A, but Plan B tends to be the more dominant one that we speak of. Plan A has always been part of the language of the church. And what's interesting is St. Francis of Assisi and his followers, the Franciscans, very much saw Plan A as the design of God. Creation wasn't some mistake. There wasn't some problem to be solved. Jesus didn't come to make God love us again. Jesus came in Plan A to remind us how much God loves us. And we're called to live into the fullness of that love. And the Franciscans, a little history here, the Franciscans had a lot to do in the 1920s with the creation of this liturgical feast that we call Christ the King. It's a very recent liturgical part of the liturgical calendar, the Feast of Christ the King. The Franciscans brought it forward. It was just after World War I. The world was still in conflict. Kings were in conflict with each other in different countries. And it was actually the Pope at the time in the 1920s in the Roman tradition who declared this feast of Christ the King to remind us that there's a pattern that Christ calls us to. It's not one of divisiveness. It's not one of violence. It's not one of incredible competition where we wipe out each other. We are all called into this pattern of Christ the King. And interestingly, the actual name of this feast is not just the Feast of Christ the King. It's called the Feast of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. It's a powerful statement. The Feast of Christ the King of the Universe. There's a wonder to that. And I invite us to live into that, into the wonder that God calls us to. St. Francis of Assisi felt that in the incarnation, the first incarnation of creation, was this powerful manifestation. And that in a few weeks, when we celebrate the Feast of Christmas, the incarnation of Christ into our lives is an expression to us in our humanity of what this incarnation means, what this creation means, that Jesus came not just to be a part of us, but to show us the wonder of all of creation. And we're called to move towards that. And so as we conclude our liturgical year, as you know, we live on a calendar year, January through December, but the church has its liturgical year. And today is the last Sunday of our liturgical year. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of a new year, and we go through the cycle all over again. And today on this last feast, the last Sunday of our liturgical year, what an appropriate celebration. We have walked from awaiting Christ to the birth of Christ. We've walked through the showing forth of Christ in the Epiphany. We've walked through Lent. We've walked through Holy Week. We've walked through Easter and the season of Easter. We've walked to Pentecost and the showing forth of the Spirit. We spent the last couple of months listening to the stories of Jesus, living his life and calling us to something. And today it comes to this great feast of Christ, the King of the Universe, that calls us to realize the powerful, incredible presence of Christ in our lives, in our world. We give thanks for this creation and our call to be good stewards of this creation. This creation that is not just a material world in itself, but is a manifestation of God. It's a manifestation of the Christ. And we give thanks for that. Let us be that kind of a people here at St. Paul's. May we live into the pattern, the plan of Jesus Christ. Whatever plan you choose, you can have different plans. And we can all have a great appreciation for our faith. When I'm with my family, we may have different plans, but we all remember the great time we had together. And we as a people of faith live into the plan that speaks and calls us into this life, into this pattern, into this Christ who calls us to the fullness of life. Let us celebrate this day, Christ, the King of the Universe.